Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome, folks, to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Ed.
And Chris Woodward, news reporter extraordinaire.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Jump the gun there a little bit.
Yeah. All right, folks, so we will be on the air for the next basically hour and a half. A few minutes here and there will be spent with other announcements and news, but we've got the next hour, let's say hour and 25 minutes, to kind of catch you up on the news of the day from a Christian perspective. That's what we do here at American Family Radio, and we've got folks that get the job done. American Family News got crack reporters and good story writers. We are grateful for all that God has blessed us with.
Yeah.
It is the first day of spring, right? First full day of spring.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always exciting for people other than Eskimos, or what are they called? They're not called Eskimos anymore, right? Inuit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so unless you live up in that part of the world, you do like warm weather. Most of us do, and hopefully we've got some of that coming our way.
Yeah, folks in Alaska look forward to July.
Yes, they're one month of summer.
Well, that's like Minnesota has two seasons, winter and August 15th.
That come from Jan Markell.
Jan Markell will say that.
Yes. August 15th. We will just kind of as a heads up to our listeners at the bottom of the hour, 10:30, after we come back from our break, we'll have Sandy Rios on. We've tried to get Sandy on as much as possible. She's Director of Governmental Affairs for American Family Association and host of the Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast, which you can access by going to AFR.net. And there is a little tab at the top that says podcasts and a drop-down menu. By the way, you don't have to, not just Sandy Rios, but I think just about everything else we have on our talk radio program or our network is available in podcast form. If you would like to watch us do this radio program, there are two ways for you to do that. You can go to Facebook and search for Today's Issues and click through, and you'll see the live stream, video stream of this program. Or you can go to our AFA streaming platform, and that is, you can find that at streaming.afa.net. And you can also watch our live video stream there. All right, Chris, get us started
on
the news of the day.
There have been reports in recent days that former President Donald Trump might be arrested today. He even said so himself in some social media posts to people that support Donald Trump. But it now appears that he's not going to be arrested today in that New York grand jury case over alleged or so-called hush money payments to women he may or may not have had an affair with years ago. Apparently, in a story you can find on AFN.net, the grand jury is going to hear from another witness tomorrow. So that is the update with the case. We led with the story yesterday and talked about it at length. So the update with this is it does not appear that Donald Trump is going to be arrested today. There's going to be more people talking about this tomorrow. But Trump's not waiting for more grand jury testimony. He put out a video last night calling efforts against him a witch hunt. Clip one.
These four horrible radical left Democrat investigations of your all-time favorite president, me, is just a continuation of the most disgusting witch hunt in the history of our country. It's gone on forever with Russia, 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 and Ukraine, 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 and the Mueller hoax. It's an absolute disgrace what's going on. They even spied on my campaign. And remember this, with all of the work that they did on Mueller, no collusion. That's what the answer was all no collusion. Whether it's the Mar-a-Lago raid or the Unselect Committee hoax, the perfect Georgia phone call, it was absolutely perfect, or the Stormy Horseface Daniels extortion plot, they're all sick, and it's fake news. Our enemies are desperate to stop us because they know that we are the only ones who can stop them, and they know it very strongly. And they're looking at the polls where, not me, but we are up by so much. They can't even believe it. We won twice, and now we've got to win a third time. They know that we can defeat them. They know that we will defeat them. But they're not coming after me. They're coming after you. I'm just standing in their way, and I always will stand in their way. Thank you very much.
Real quick, before we get everybody's reaction to that video, I will share a Fox News article that contains the video in its entirety so people can listen to it for themselves.
Okay, Fred, listen, for the most part, I have no problems with what the president, former president, said. This does appear to be a witch hunt. I've been trying to read a lot. I'm not an attorney, so I have spoken with attorneys about this. I mentioned on the air yesterday that I had spoken with our own Abraham Hamilton III about the process by which the president would be charged if the grand jury decides to charge him and what that arraignment would look like. Have read a number of articles about how that process unfolds. And from what I've been reading and what Abe said, the president is not going to be brought in with handcuffs. The Secret Service would never allow that. The Secret Service protects the former president, so that his attorneys and the Manhattan DA office, they would work something out. But I got to say, it is a strange thing to consider if Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan district attorney, goes through with this, the former president of the United States would be fingerprinted, and he would have mugshots, and I think that's what this is all about. They call it being frog marched, you know, if you in chains, handcuffs, and so on and so forth. I think a lot of these kinds of people on the radical left would love to see that, but they want revenge on this guy. Their hatred for Donald Trump runs so deeply. I've read some of the comments underneath some of these stories. These people on the left are so hostile. Mm-hmm. They all are celebrating the fact that in their minds, he's going to have to, Donald Trump, he's going to be fingerprinted and have his mugshots, and they're going to rejoice in that regardless of whether or not there's even a crime. There are people, legal minds, saying that there's not even a crime here.
Yeah.
The Federal Elections Commission said nothing to see here. They dropped their investigation. The rest of the Department of Justice has washed their hands of it. But this George Soros-funded district attorney wants his scalp.
Yep. The previous district attorney didn't want to touch it. Trump is right, and we've talked about this before. His Democrat enemies, his enemies in the media, have been after him now since he walked down or rode down that escalator in 2015.
Right.
They did not want him for the reason that he was going to interfere with their leftist agenda.
Right.
They wanted Hillary Clinton. That's who they wanted, who would continue on with being either further to the left than Barack Obama. And he was quite far to the left.
Right.
So that's what we're looking at. The former president is exactly right. They've been out to get him. Anybody looking at this with just an honest assessment, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, this is unprecedented what we have seen in the attack against this president. You know, conservatives didn't particularly like Barack Obama's policies. Obamacare, all of that.
Right.
So there's lots of policies, but we never saw this kind of opposition to Bill Clinton. We never saw from the left the kind of opposition when George Bush, both Bushes, were in office.
Right.
In the president. But along comes Donald Trump. I think we reached a period in the history of this country when the far left forces, and those forces have been perking along now for 40 or 50 years, when he was elected, when Donald Trump was elected, they said, gloves are coming off. We are now going to use the power of a judicial system. What he's talking about, the Mueller investigation, Russiagate, all that sort of thing. The two impeachments, he made reference to that last night. The Mar-a-Lago raid,
right,
with the FBI. And so it is, it, to me, it is a rather scary time when you look at not only what they're doing to Donald Trump. We've mentioned what they're doing to pro-life demonstrators, Mark Houck of Pennsylvania, what they're not doing to protect pregnancy centers, pro-life right. pregnancy centers. We are in, I believe, uncharted waters in the history of this country right now. I think many Americans are waking up to the fact that whether you're a Republican or Democrat, it is very dangerous when the country's judicial system is weaponized against political enemies. This is the kind of thing that you see in Venezuela.
Right.
It's the kind of thing you see in China. It's the kind of thing you see in Russia. And many people thought, you know, that day could never come here. But we have arrived at this point. I agree with you. You know, he's you know, the president won't show up in a prison uniform and chains and all that sort of thing. But the left doesn't need that.
Right.
All they want for him is to be indicted. And hopefully that it will discourage Trump supporters and that he would not be have a chance of being reelected in 24.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's not just the Justice Department. I mean, absolutely the Justice Department has gone after him. It's the intelligence agencies.
Yes.
They're all, they, you know, remember they signed on and say there's nothing to the Hunter Biden laptop story or, you know, all the claims that Trump made. You get these a lot of times unnamed individuals who say there's nothing to this when it comes to the claims of Donald Trump. I agree with you. I've never seen this in our history, you know, but we are seeing the intentional use of federal power.
Mm-hmm.
The IRS under the Obama administration going yes. after conservative groups.
Yes.
You know, Lois Lerner taking yeah. the fifth, you know, when she had to appear to explain what she was doing with her department, her division mm-hmm. of the IRS. So it's not just the, of course, the FBI is included in the Justice Department, but the U.S. military
mm-hmm.
coming to, you know, bring the weight of its power against individuals who dare to speak up. We covered the story of the woman in New Jersey mm-hmm. yesterday mm-hmm. who shared on Facebook about her seven-year-olds in her elementary school.
On a military base.
On the military base.
Mm-hmm.
With all the displays, including polysexuality, these things that little kids are being taught. And this Lieutenant Colonel, Christopher Schilling, saying that this, calling the police, saying this woman was a danger to the community.
Terrorist.
Not the full power yet of the federal government being unleashed, but certainly being weaponized against political enemies. All right, Chris, anything else on that story? We cover it. You have any other sound for that? Or
for more? No, not at this time anyway.
All right, so tomorrow, what we're looking for in terms of the playing out of this process, tomorrow there's an additional witness who's going to testify before the grand jury.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And then we had yesterday Michael Cohen, the former attorney for the president, his reliability being challenged by an additional witness. So the I guess tomorrow after this other witness, the grand jury will make up its mind mm-hmm. whether it's going to indict the former president.
Yep.
All right, let's move.
Well, yesterday was a first for the Biden administration. President Biden issued the first veto of his presidency. He blocked a congressional effort to block his Department of Labor from having a rule that pushes pension funds to invest in his Democratic leftist agenda. The concern from critics has been that for a few months now, Biden wants people handling our investments to put our money into things that meet ESG policies, environmental, social, and governance policies. So the president is concerned about climate change. He wants us to do more windmills and solar panels and all that stuff. And so his Department of Labor put out a rule saying, hey, you know, investment firms, you can put somebody's money into these kinds of accounts, which caused a lot of critics out there to say, wait a minute, it's my money. I should be able to invest where I want to, regardless of what the president favors. Even Democrats, a couple of Democrats in the Senate, Joe Manchin and John Tester, senators from West Virginia and Montana, respectively, they joined Republicans in putting forth a resolution saying, hey, Biden, what you're doing is wrong here. We don't like it. But Biden vetoed that yesterday. And he says, Biden says that he's taking care of, he's trying to protect Americans and protect their investments. I have his claims, and then I'll get into some reaction here. This is Joe Biden yesterday at the White House, clip four.
I just signed this veto because legislation passed by the Congress would put at risk the retirement savings of individuals across the country. They couldn't take into consideration investments that wouldn't be impacted by climate, impacted by overpaying executives, and that's why I decided to veto it. It makes sense to veto it.
Now, Heritage Action is one of the politically active organizations on the center-right side of things that says what Biden did is wrong here, and Carson Steelman, the spokesperson for Heritage Action, explained why her organization is opposed to Biden's veto. Clip five.
It really is an insult to the American people. President Biden used his first presidential veto to overrule the bipartisan CRA resolution that would have protected the retirement accounts and 401ks of more than 150 million Americans by blocking the Department of Labor's dangerous ESG rule. Prioritizing a left-wing political agenda, the rule basically allows the federal government to use taxpayer money to work against American taxpayer values and financial interests.
So, you know, big concern there developing, and we're still following it on our website.
Well, Fred, I listened to the president's little video that he made, and as far as I can tell, I hesitate to use the word lie very often because that indicates a desire to intentionally mislead. But that's a lie, what he said.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is, as far as I can tell, I've been trying to do a lot of reading on this to understand the issues involved. Any investor, any investing firm is allowed to pick any corporation, any business to invest the funds of its clients in. The president is lying by saying that what the bill that was passed by the bipartisan bill that was passed would forbid investors from investing in climate friendly businesses. That's a lie. That there is no such thing.
Yeah.
Investors, however, are supposed to first keep in mind the ability of these investments to bring a return that benefits the client.
Yes.
And that is your first consideration. And what it appears that Joe Biden is doing is he wants the first consideration to be these ESG policies.
Mm-hmm.
And so the federal government is saying, basically, what I understand happening, the federal government is saying to investing firms, you don't have to keep the return on interest uppermost in your mind. If you would like to, you can keep ESG policies in mind. Again, environmental, social, and governance policies, you can keep that uppermost in mind. And what this bipartisan bill said was, no, that is going to rob investors of the security of knowing that these investing firms have their interests at the top of the list.
Yeah.
So what the president said in his response was a lie.
Yep.
An absolute bald-faced lie.
Yeah. Here's what's going on here. The Biden administration and his climate activist leftist radicals know that Americans have trillions of dollars in pension funds, in 401ks. Trillions, we're told, the estimate. 150 million Americans, okay? They're looking at that pot of money and they're saying, how can we get our hands on that? Like you say, me, Fred Jackson, if I wanted my 401k funds all in a company that produces solar panels, I can do that too.
Right. Nothing's stopping you.
Nothing's stopping me from doing that. So you have to ask the question, why does Joe Biden want to veto this? He wants to veto it because he wants to put pressure on investment firms to redirect money into his climate change radical agenda. That's what he wants. He's not interested in whether you're going to make money, folks. He's interested in ensuring that he pushes his climate change agenda. This is what it's all about. This goes back to his days as vice president under Barack Obama. And I wanted to remind people about a company, Solyndra, all right, based in California.
Right.
What did they make? Well, they made solar panels. 4,000 people. Going to be new jobs.
Right.
In fact, it's going to do such great things for America. Barack Obama said, we're going to invest $535 million of your money, Americans,
right,
into Solyndra. I don't think the company lasted a year. And that money was flushed down the proverbial toilet. It was gone. And I remember Barack Obama being challenged on this. And he says, well, that's the way business works. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You know what? But it was our money.
Right.
It was our money. That's what he was interested in. And also those who did investigations afterwards, guess what? The company principals, the officers of that company, had invested heavily in Barack Obama's campaign.
So this was a circle of money.
Yeah.
But it involved taxpayer money.
$535 million.
That went to a company that invested it back into Barack Obama's reelection campaign. And I'm guessing that when that company went belly up, the principals of that company, those at the top, I'm guessing they got some golden parachutes to help them land safely.
I'm sure they got jobs as analysts and advisors.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
There is still a chance that Biden's rule could get tossed out in court. And I say that based on a lawsuit filed in February from a law firm called the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. I spoke to one of their attorneys yesterday, and she mentioned that Biden's rule violates a couple of federal laws here, Clip 6.
So we are arguing that the rule that allows for ESG factors to be considered as risk return factors violates the statutory text of ERISA, which governs a lot of retirement plans in the country. That law requires that the proceeds be solely invested for the benefit of the beneficiaries and not for these other collateral social objectives. It also violates the Administrative Procedure Act and the constitutional separation of powers because the Department of Labor does not have the authority to make environmental policy, and that's essentially what this is doing. It's a backdoor way of making environmental policy that has not been passed through Congress.
Now, that lawsuit from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which you can read about on our Facebook page, I shared the link, that was filed in the U.S. federal court system in the Eastern District of Wisconsin, and I asked the attorney there, Catherine Spitz, how soon we might get them in court over this. It's going to be months. So we'll still be probably talking about this in the fall.
Well, what was her name?
Catherine Spitz.
That's the one we heard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Ms. Spitz, I think, is exactly right. It's a very simple matter in my mind, Fred. When an investor takes your money, puts it in the stock market, it should be number one goal to get a good return for the client.
Yes.
And what Biden wants to do is to allow those investors to say, hey, we're just doing what the federal government wants. We're investing first in these ESG firms, and then if you get your money, if you make a profit on it, good on you. But if not, we're covered.
Yeah.
And hey, I hope this lawsuit prevails.
Joe Biden, keep your hands off my retirement funds.
Well, I think you're right. I think they can't grab it outright, at least not at this point. But they want to try to use it to promote their agenda as if it was government funds.
Yep.
All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, Sandy Rios will be joining us right here on American Family Radio. You are listening to Today's Issues. Again, a short break. Hope you'll join us when we come back.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness. And may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starn. Stand by for news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes.
It turns out there was only one thing more lethal to Superman than kryptonite. It was woke politics. Over the past years, movie directors and comic book writers turned the Man of Steel into a symbol of all that is good, into a symbol of all that is woke and triggering. They turned Superman into a gay, pro-open border snowflake. They also changed his beloved motto from Truth, Justice, and the American Way to Truth, Justice, and a Better Tomorrow. One movie adaptation actually referred to the American Way as all that other stuff. But it turns out that most Americans did not embrace politically correct Superman, and now comes word that director James Gunn will resurrect the old motto in the newest Superman film, an old-school, all-American superhero. So here's to Warner Brothers for doing the right thing and restoring Superman's motto. I predict a better tomorrow. I'm Todd Starnes.
For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. 2 Corinthians 5:1.
American Family Radio.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
And welcome back. Ed Battagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward. Sandy Rios is going to be about 5 minutes late. We will be getting her on as soon as possible. Before we go, Chris, you mentioned that you know we talked about in the last segment, revisiting now the possible indictment of the former president, Donald Trump. We talked about how the members of the far left, they're living for this moment.
Yes.
And you said you had some audio about just kind of a montage of some of these people who are just salivating.
Yes, salivating is a good word. What you're going to hear now is kind of a compilation of various people on television salivating over the possible arrest of former President Donald Trump. Clip two.
Simply because he may have committed worse crimes, you don't let him off of lesser crimes. If you are, for example, seeking a prosecution for murder, if the guy gets caught drunk driving in another context before that, you don't just let him go because you have bigger fish to fry.
Nobody is above the law including Donald Trump. It doesn't matter that this is kind of a minor crime compared to some of the other allegations.
A crime is a crime is a crime is a crime. That's what anybody prosecuting or a judge would say.
I was reading the Bible, which said that a man sows, that he may also reap.
That was Al Sharpton at the end.
Mm. Oh.
The right reverend.
Yeah, that wonderful expositor of the Word of God. Well, listen, it's clear from those clips that, Fred, these folks recognize that what he is potentially going to be indicted on in Manhattan is something minor. Most of the things I've read said it's at best a misdemeanor.
Yes.
And maybe no crime at all. Mm-hmm. But the expectation is that Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA, wants to try to turn this into a felony.
Yes.
And so it is interesting that in that little montage, 30 seconds or so, that they are kind of explaining why this minor crime is still worth the time and energy being spent by the district attorney's office.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you guys have used the word salivating. At the same time, 180 degrees to the salivating over this is the latest reports that we have, documents now coming out on that Hunter Biden laptop and money from China, and what we learned in the last week about money being spread to Biden family members and probably to Joe Biden himself. But money, what was it, $235,000 checks to Biden's daughter-in-law. And other family members. I bet you they have spent a grand total of maybe 5 minutes on that story.
Right.
All of these other media. That's real criminal activity.
Right.
That is the possibility of Joe Biden, when he was vice president, using his office for financial gain. But we're not getting that kind of coverage at all. There are some networks that haven't touched that story at all.
Well, listen, I just want to say this is Ed Vitagliano speaking. If former President Trump had committed real crimes,
mm-hmm.
all right, listen, I'm fine. Go, you prosecute the crimes if they're real. But from where I sit, I don't see any crimes. I didn't see a crime with the call to Ukraine. I didn't see a call with a crime with the call to Georgia. No. Let's find the votes. It's clear what the president was saying. Okay, I don't see a crime here in Manhattan or in New York. The Federal Elections Commission didn't see one. The FBI didn't see one. So I am curious as to whether we hear the right Reverend Al Sharpton talking about what you sow, you shall reap, if this further goes down the path in terms of the Biden family.
Yes.
And Hunter Biden. Will you hear all these people saying, well, a crime is a crime is a crime? That we heard in that montage? I doubt it.
I'm not the first to say this, but if the story with regards to Biden getting money from China was the Trump family and Trump's daughter and son-in-laws were getting money from China,
it'd be wall-to-wall coverage.
Oh, yeah. And rightly so.
Right.
And so it should be. A vice president of the United States using his influence to get money, It's such a bizarre story. I know we got to get on to Sandy, but this was another case of Hunter Biden, like in the Ukraine, all of a sudden being treated like an expert in the energy industry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Far as we know, I don't think he took a course in fuel.
Right.
Anywhere. Come on. Everybody knows what's going on here, folks, but the mainstream media just wants to toss it aside.
All right. Well, we want to welcome someone who's going to ratchet down the energy a little bit of this show. Okay, get us on an even keel. Sandy Rios, who's Director of Governmental Affairs for American Family Association, host of the very popular Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast on AFR.net. Sandy, welcome to Today's Issues.
Good morning. Oh, goodness, my computer, just as you said that, decided to shout at me. Do you hear that?
You know what?
I got to figure out how to turn it off.
Well, Russian disinformation.
You know, The thing is, Sandy, I hear music in my head all the time. I wasn't sure if that was just in my head or if that was coming from your...
No, it's you know what? The problem is I just got booted my computers back up, so I hadn't It just volunteered to shout just as you were talking to me. Did you ask me a question?
Well, no, I was welcoming you to the program.
I thought she was coming from a club somewhere.
Yeah.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, Sandy.
That's right, 5 o'clock somewhere. All right, now we want to talk to you in just a moment about one of your favorite people, and that's Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Oh, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. But did you hear some of the discussion we had just before you you came out of your dance club? We were talking about the potential indictment of the former president, Donald Trump. And if you were listening to that, I had to get your take on this before we get to Fauci.
Well, I think it's I didn't hear everything. I heard part of what you guys were talking about, and I have been following it. I've been out of the country. You guys know that. I just got back last night, but I have been following as best I can. And I think it's horrific. I think we should rise up and shout from the housetops. I don't care how people feel about Donald Trump, this is wrong. It's just wrong. This is a very old case. It's a cold case, and they settled it a long, long time ago. And they're just digging. You know, it's obvious that they are digging for something, anything to charge him with. I think one of the things that strikes me, Ed, and has for a long time, and Fred, is just really this is all they have? After all of the years they have looked into his financial dealings, his taxes, his real estate. This is all the New York prosecutor has. This some alleged mishandling of money for whatever her name was. Stormy Daniels. I was under the impression, I need to research this, that this was settled a long, long time ago. Do you remember that?
Yeah, the Federal Elections Commission just wouldn't, there was nothing there.
Exactly. I know that there was a declaration of some kind. And I also know that the guy that was really accusing him, the guy that was on television, the attorney that was like a little banty rooster attorney defending Stormy Daniels, ended up going to prison.
Yes.
For his dishonesty. So these things I remember. But so how suddenly this is an issue. And again, this is something, the stunning thing of all the dealings. Donald Trump has dealt in New York City. He has done business with contractors and businesses, built hotels and real estate, and this is all they have? You mean after all of these years of him doing business in worldwide, this is all they have? I think that's stunning, and it isn't anything. But nevertheless, you know, it's playing out. And I think one of the things that I thought, you guys, I don't know if you went here, but I thought right away and actually shared with people in D.C. that I thought Ron DeSantis should come out immediately and decry what they were doing, because this whole faux rift between him and President Trump is ridiculous. And I thought it would unite the patriots. This is just wrong. We're united around the lack of justice. And it doesn't matter who your man is in this election. We have to defend him. And so Ron DeSantis did come out over the weekend. And I was very glad to see that. And so has Vivek Ramaswamy. Ramaswamy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe others have, too, that I've missed. But so that's a scattershot of what I think. I don't know if that helps or not.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, we were talking about in the last segment, and then we'll move on, I think what the left wants is they want him fingerprinted. And they want mugshots of him because their hatred for Donald Trump runs that deeply. I mean, they're out for vengeance because he dared to say he was going to drain the swamp, and they've never forgotten that. And they would want to. I keep hearing music in my head. I hope this is in my head. I think that's what this is about. They just want revenge for him beating Hillary and all the other things that he accomplished while he was in office. All right.
I think you're right. I think you're right, Ed, and I think we have to keep that in mind. They're laying another plot.
Yeah.
Trump arrested, accused of, it doesn't matter what.
Right.
That's the headline, and
just
he's running
impeached.
For president.
Oh, I don't care what. He's impeached twice. Well, okay, that was all on quote-unquote trumped-up charges. All right. we know you're a big fan of Anthony Fauci. I don't know if you saw this video. Now, folks, we're going to give you a little advance warning, and then we're going to get Sandy's opinion on this, but it's a 2-minute video. So you'll be hearing this, but this is, I'm going to let Chris Woodward set this up. This is pretty fascinating, and then we want Sandy's take on it. So, Chris, set this up for our listeners.
Yes, there is a video out that a lot of news outlets and individuals are talking about, and it's gotten a lot of shares, views, what have you, in the last 24 hours or so, although the New York Post put out an article today that says this may actually be from 2021. Nonetheless, Dr. Anthony Fauci and D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser went door-to-door talking to people in the Washington, D.C. area who are not vaccinated for COVID-19. They're trying to sell them on reasons why they should get a COVID shot. And what you're going to hear now is an encounter that Dr. Fauci and Mayor Bowser had with a gentleman there in the D.C. area who was, I'm not getting a shot, no way, no how, and he explained why. Clip 7.
People in America are not settled with the information that's been given to us right now. So I'm not going to be lining up taking a shot or a vaccination for something that wasn't clear in the first place. And then you all create a shot in miraculous time. It takes years to
Well, it used to take years.
Okay, it used to.
You know how many years were invested in this approach? About 20 years of science to get us to be able to do it.
20 years is not enough. And 9 months is definitely not enough for nobody to be taking no vaccination that you all came up with.
The only reason I'm talking to you right now, as close as we are, is that I've been vaccinated.
Right.
But if it allow thousands of people like you don't get vaccinated, you're going to let this virus continue to percolate in this country and in this world.
Something like the common flu then, right?
It's much more serious than the flu. Though.
Well, the flu kills a lot of people annually, too.
You know how many people died of the flu the last year? I mean, not this year, virtually none, but the previous year, about 20 to 30,000. You know how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
The number that you all given that died, that's once again, that's you all's number.
You gonna pass?
Yeah, definitely. Because when you start talking about paying people to get vaccinated, when you start talking about incentivizing things to get people vaccinated, there's something else going on with that.
But I'm glad millions of people like me and most everybody here didn't get an incentive. You know what their incentive was? Protecting their health and protecting the city.
It's okay, because my incentive, y'all, campaign is about fear. It's about inciting fear in people. You all attack people with fear. That's what this pandemic is. It's a fear. It's fear, this pandemic. That's all it is.
I'm going to put him down as a no.
Hey, Sandy, that aired, according to Chris, that aired on PBS.
It did, yes.
And that was a pretty – I was surprised that PBS aired that. That was a long exchange between Muriel Bowser and Anthony Fauci. And this gentleman, he did a pretty good job in defending his position. And what do you think about the arguments that – and it is running now. So I don't know if it is an older video or not, but PBS aired it recently. Everyone's talking about it over the last 24 hours.
Well, I think I think a lot of things about that. Let me just say, newsflash, black Americans are not stupid. Mm-hmm. Black Americans read, they think, they're discerning. That was not the only rejection they got. I don't know if you saw, they went to a mother. She had kids, around her legs, and they're trying to persuade her that she should take it. And she said, well, I hear it doesn't do any good, that you still get it. And Fauci said, oh, yes, but, it's just mild. You hardly know you got, she said. And then that you still can infect other people, basically. She's saying, telling him what we all know. And when they start this little journey and he's speaking to their volunteers who are going to go out and, talk people into getting the vaccine, he sets it up by talking about how the people of Anacostia are kind of disenfranchised. It's this, it's the southeast side of Washington, and they're kind of poor, and basically the tone of voice is like they don't, they're disenfranchised, they're low vaccinated, they're just that kind of people. They're black, and I don't see racism behind every bush, but I see racism behind this bush, where he's saying that they, these poor, uninformed, ignorant people, we have to go and help them get vaccinated. And they blast him. And I love it. And I actually thought, Ed, that the gentleman that argued with him, I thought his arguments were great. I mean, how many people on the spot could argue that many things cogently about this vaccine? They might say, no, I don't want to get it. But he had reasons.
Right.
Even when Fauci threw out the 20-year, we've been researching for 20 years, he had a good comeback. He said, that's not long enough. And this is just 9 months, you know? So I thought he did a great job. He knew exactly what he was talking about. And I thought it was a smackdown in a number of ways. The other thing that one point I want to point out, when Fauci gets back in the car to kind of reflect on what just happened to him, he says, most people that don't want to get this are Republicans, and they just don't want to be told what to do. And we have to change that. That's what he says.
Wow. Wow. And listen, when Dr. Fauci was saying when he said 20 years, he wasn't talking about the COVID vaccine. He was talking about 20 years put into the science of, I'm guessing, these, you know, proteins and the mRNA and all that kind of thing. But the actual vaccine itself didn't go through 20 years of study.
Exactly, Ed. But so, I mean, what person who had just had their door knocked on randomly would be prepared to say that? That's why I actually think this guy did a great job. And then as they go on, they're walking away, as you know, while he says, your campaign is all about fear. Yeah. You just want to scare people. Isn't anything more than just fear? It was great. It was great. Thank you, people of Anacostia.
Yes. You know, and what I found interesting in watching the video, the mayor is at the bottom of the stairs.
Right.
This gentleman is standing on his doorstep, which is about 9 or 10 steps above where she's standing. She is so dedicated to the narrative that this is why I'm standing down here. I've been vaccinated and you haven't. He comes right back to her and says, that doesn't matter.
Right.
You're vaccinated. You spread it around. I'm not vaccinated. I might get it. I might not. I wish there had been a longer conversation. And also, Sandy, I want your comments on Dr. Fauci. 600,000 Americans have died from this. We now know that hospitals were, can I say, encouraged to put down on a death certificate COVID. If the person came in and died of a heart attack, if they tested positive for COVID, they died of COVID. And they got, someone said, what, $40,000 per patient or something of that nature when they were treated?
I'll pull up the fact check here.
Yeah, this is the kind, they're so dedicated to the narrative, and they also know they can repeat this junk that Fauci was talking about there, and the mayor of Washington, and the mainstream media will not catch them on it.
Well, listen, I just want to bring a personal anecdote here, and then, Sandy, go ahead and answer. I know somebody who died of congestive heart failure.
Yes.
And they put on his death certificate COVID.
Yeah.
All right. And now, he did have COVID.
Yeah.
This individual did have COVID months before he died. But they were using that as the cause of death.
And he had congestive heart failure for a long time.
Yes.
Long
so
time.
This wasn't just going on in 2020.
No.
This is 2023 as well. All right. Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, there were people who had car accidents that were tested. You know,
fell
they
off
were
a
labeled.
Ladder.
Fell A guy fell off a ladder and was attributed with that. And I also want to be specific. Hospitals were given, Fred, the incentive, the financial incentive was even greater than what you said. In some areas, I think, as I recall, $120,000-$130,000 for each COVID patient was low. There were other areas of the country that they got more money because they had a COVID patient. And so they got lots of money for putting people on ventilators. So there was incentive to do that. They got lots of money for giving them remdesivir. Hospitals made money hand over fist in this. It corrupted. And how would that happen? How could doctors do that? Because hospitals and medical systems have become corporatized. They are no longer, a lot of times your hospital used to be owned by doctors or the clinic was owned by doctors. And sometimes that may be true now, but not as often. It's mostly big business, which I hate to say that because I'm not against businesses that are large and well-run. I think there are good big businesses. but they have become corrupt in the process, and they force doctors, and doctors by either they played the game or they couldn't be a doctor anymore. And most of them chose to play the game, this dangerous, horrible game. I don't know how they live with themselves, but they did it. Nurses, too. So they made money hand over fist, just like that. The guy in Anacostia said, you know, you pay, there's something wrong. If you're paying people to get this vaccine, there's something wrong. And Muriel Bowser, the mayor, said, well, you're right. And that's when she said, we won't talk to you anymore. Yes. Because she knew.
They didn't want that conversation to keep going.
No,
because
exactly.
Because he was owning them right there on his own house stoop.
So we have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people who have died because they were put on ventilators and not allowed to live. That was kind of like the death knell, because they were put on remdesivir, which is a deadly drug, which shuts down your kidneys. They've known this for years. Why? I'm shocked that they assigned and made every COVID patient in the hospital take remdesivir. And that's the only treatment they would give. They wouldn't let them have anything else. Up until what they developed, some other thing, I forgot what it was. Now, in the last 6 months or year, whatever it was, but they for a long, long time, when Bruce was literally dying of COVID, they gave him remdesivir, and I didn't know what I know now. I did not know, or I would have been in there fighting against that too. But they made money. It's so corrupt. It is so horrific. It's the largest. I mean, it really, truly, this is a terrible, this is a very dangerous word to use. But it was a holocaust on a people all over the world by a power, a group of people who were playing with our lives. The Bill Gates of this world, the Dr. Fauci's, who enriched themselves through patents and medicines, who look at people as nothing more than just mass. You saw how Dr. Fauci set up the people of Anacostia. They have hardened their hearts so much that they see the planet as animal species. I mean, no, not much different than animals, like where they can play with populations. They can reduce food here or increase this here and actually control large areas of the world, including countries and including now the Western world. And they're mad with power, and they're dangerous. And so,
well, and Sandy, let me just say this: I'm not a conspiracy person. I don't latch on to conspiracies that come down the pike, you know, and they do fairly frequently. I am very cautious when it comes to what I will believe, and there has to be proof. Okay, but having said that, so you know something's coming. All right, having said that, I can at least understand why there are people out there who believe in this kind of elitist, this conspiracy of elitists that have underground bunkers and underground caverns, and they don't care what happens to the average people just as long as they can survive whatever apocalyptic catastrophe they see as coming. I read these things sometimes and I go, I don't think you got to have more proof than that, but I at least understand after watching all this unfold worldwide, I at least understand, like what you just said, there are a lot of people at the top of the ladder who have the money to set themselves up if something really bad happens. They don't care about us because we're just animals. So I'm going to give you 30 seconds and then we're done, because there's the music.
Well, it's documented that there was a meeting, a whole gaming of a pandemic in October 2019. And it was all about disinformation. It was part of RCA was involved in that. And these national groups, the international groups I talked about, that's on record. It's hard to find on Google because, you know, guess what? They censor that.
Yeah, right.
But they actually did all of that, laid it out. So there's reason. There's a reason to believe there's a conspiracy here.
X-Files.
Oh, Lord.
All right, Sandy, hey, go back into the club. We called you out of the dance club.
Boom. Boom. Yeah, okay. All right,
thanks, Sandy. Appreciate it.
Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, folks, we're going to take a five-minute break for news. And Chris Woodward's going to go, but Steve Jordahl's coming in. There'll be more great stuff coming. Directly ahead, you're listening to American Family Radio. Five-minute break for news. We'll be right back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.